Talking about U Sports, my challenge to the NCAA that is taking a hit today, talking about its great graduation rates. Well, congratulations, that's great. But let's challenge the NCAA, and let's challenge the Olympic teams. Let's challenge the pro athletes to think about the larger impact they can have, as Dr. Andrews just said. Dr. Andrew Jacobs talked about the impact paving the way that athletes can have around the world, not just Olympics, not just every 2 years or every 4 years. Here's Bob Costas about the youth culture. We spent so much time focusing on the youth culture, what just happened. Maybe we can use that to challenge today's younger athletes to make a bigger impact. Here's Bob Costas from last week.
We live in a youth-oriented culture, and some of that is understandable, but we glorify youth to the point where anything that happened less than 5 minutes ago or more than 5 minutes ago is somehow viewed as irrelevant or old-fashioned or whatever. But where does the context come from if it doesn't come from some appreciation of what's preceded it and some perspective that comes with having seen something over the course of time, as opposed to just being confronted with things for the first time? So
that's Bob Costas, and I really believe, Fred Eng, that we can challenge today's young athletes once they, just I've seen working for President Clinton, working for President H.W. Bush in 89 with the Points of Light Foundation, with AmeriCorps, so many athletes, even if they aren't getting their so-called Peace Corps experience, they would love to have the opportunity to take sports and take all those character lessons and impact young people who are so hungry, so thirsty for this kind of teaching and this kind of mentoring.
Well, you know what, Nick? It's called giving back. These athletes today have so much that has been given to them, and in terms of reaching the professional level, and it's like Charles Barkley and Ray Lewis and all these people that are out there that have gained millions and millions of dollars to be able to give something back to the poor, destitute people in Africa. Let me tell you a real quick story. You were in Washington when we had our international Congress there. A guy from Liberia is there, and he's part of our system, but what he does is he works for an organization here in the States, a nonprofit called the Hope Foundation. What they do is they send him throughout the United States with the athletes that he's identified throughout Africa to give them scholarships. Some of these athletes, I guarantee you, will be playing in the NBA. Because what they're doing is recruiting the athletes over there, and they're going to be more and more and more, not only from Africa, but from Asia and so on. And we need to be looking at that not from a standpoint of what our American athletes are able to gain and give back, but what everybody needs to give back to sports, because they're all going to benefit tremendously.
Okay, well, that's almost the last word. Andy Jacobs, we'll give you the last word in our U Sports segment for today. Thanks, Fred, for joining us, and let's build on this theme of doing more so that it's not just the Peace Corps, it's not just AmeriCorps, it's not just government-based supported programs, but it's the initiative of universities and education centers to build leadership, to build the real kind of education that lasts for a lifetime. Dr. Jacobs, final thoughts.
Well, I think what Fred just said, it hits it on the spot. You know, we've got an opportunity here, because the world is expanding in terms of everything's becoming closer via the internet and everything else, and I think we've got a great opportunity to educate and help people out to make sports the venue that can really help people become better people in the end.
Well, thanks both of you for joining us. We'll see you next week on Head Games, and thanks for all that you do, especially the National Alliance for U Sports, for bringing this wonderful experience known as sports to kids that might not have it otherwise, that might not have the opportunity to grow into complete people. You've done great work, Fred Eng and Dr. Jacobs. Keep it up.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now we're switching back to pro sports and the globalization of pro sports. We're going to go to the globalization of the NFL with a guy that is one of the more articulate people covering the NFL, and our good friend Howard Valzer. Howard, how are you?
Nick, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I figured we'd just cover a few of the key matchups this week. Let's start off with St. Louis and its confrontation with Seattle. Of course, a couple weeks ago, losing a heartbreaker. How is that team doing now after having lost to the Chiefs as well?
Well, you know, they struggled a couple games after that, playing two very good AFC West teams in San Diego and Kansas City, and, you know, had some of their weaknesses in run defense exposed in those games. But, you know, they feel that they're going to go into Seattle and play a very good game. Obviously, you can't understate the importance of it, because a victory for the Rams would create a tie for first place in the division, whereas a loss would essentially put Seattle three games ahead because of the tiebreaker they would have by having beat the Rams twice. So, you know, this has become a pretty good rivalry in the league, and it's the Rams are confident because even though Maurice Morris, you know, had a decent game against the Raiders Monday night, the Rams don't feel that he's a guy that can really gash them for big plays, and that's what killed them against San Diego and Kansas City, and they feel that, you know, they can move the ball on this Seattle defense. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup.
Is the injury that Sean Alexander sustained now beginning to look like it was a lot more serious than people first thought?
It sure appears that way, although I think what's happened, Nick, a lot of times with these foot injuries, and when they're involving small bones, or relatively small bones in the foot, you don't know how they're going to heal. And that apparently is what's going on there. It just hasn't healed the way they thought it would. And what often happens with foot injuries, and I don't know if this is the same bone that affected, and this of course wasn't a total broken bone as guys like, you know, Javon Kearse had several years ago, and Damian Lewis of the Rams, and a few other guys who actually had to have surgery once and then a second surgery when it didn't heal correctly. And those are things that we're seeing happen, and you know, this appears to be one of those where it's just not healing right, and they're not going to put him out in the field until it does. And so I don't think they expected that, but I don't think that they could have known at the time that it would take this long to heal.
What's your pick for the game?
Putting me on the spot. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I think the Rams are going to go in there and steal one, and it's obviously huge for them. I think it will come down to very close to the end, but, you know, I just think, you know, they've lost three in a row, and I just think they're going to have one of their better efforts of the year in this game.
Okay, let's switch to the situation with New Orleans and Drew Brees. Here's Chris Mortensen from yesterday's show about Drew Brees.
With Peyton Manning, even though I think Manning is the guy right now, but what he's done there in New Orleans, you know what, in the Dolphins and Nick Saban, I know he's got to be kicking himself because Brees was his first choice, but the Dolphin doctors really did not want them to go forward and sign him because of the shoulder. And then, of course, Pittsburgh, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, heck, did he throw for 400 yards last week? He just got to stop throwing the interceptions. And you know, Ben's not had a lot of adversity since he's come into the league. I mean, it was almost too easy for him coming into the league. And I think a little adversity, they need to let him work through this adversity. And when he gets through it, I think he'll be a better quarterback for it.
You know, that's Chris Mortensen. But on the other hand, and we'll listen to Len Dawson. On the other hand, what is Bill Cowher doing? What message is he sending when he's making a guy who's had two concussions throw 50 passes in a game?
You know, I think that's the big problem. You know, Chris pointed out, yeah, he threw for a lot of yards, but like you said, he threw, you know, over 50 passes. And, you know, the thing that made Roethlisberger effective over the last couple of years was because the Steelers would get the lead in games. He didn't pass the ball more than 20, 25 times in a game. And let's be honest, I mean, he wasn't very good in the Super Bowl. I think he was 9 for 21. But the point is that they've gone away from their formula of success, of what the Steelers have always been. And part of it is the defense isn't as good. And so they're falling behind in games. When they fall behind, you have to throw more. And now all of a sudden you have some issues. And that's what's happening there. And yeah, it's a tough message because Charlie Batch has played pretty well when he's, you know, he's played. But it's like, man, I'm sure as a coach you say, oh, how do you bench a Super Bowl quarterback? So that's the conundrum that they find themselves in. And, you know, it's interesting.
You're not benching him. You're making sure that his brain is actually not permanently affected when you have a career as bright as his. Maybe it's come a little easily, as Chris Mortensen would say, but the reality is this is a jewel. This is a guy you want to protect, make sure that he's better. And Charlie Batch has done everything to show he can do a decent job.
Absolutely. I guess, you know, you think of it, well, you know, what does it do to him if you bench him? I don't know. But, you know, he's had so many physical issues this year that you just figure, how can he be right? And that's, you know, I think sometimes we expect these athletes, okay, so they were injured, now they're healthy, they're going to be fine. But it has to affect you. It's like, you know, it's Carson, I thought it was very interesting this week, Nick, you know, Carson Palmer talking about what it was like to rehab, you know, where last year he was on a roll, you're in a rhythm, everything, you know, you've played football for the number of years, you've never been injured, you're doing the same thing, then all of a sudden you get injured, and now you're in bed for 3 weeks, now you're rehabbing, now you're doing this, now you're doing that, and it's almost like relearning a lot of things. And while he's been pretty good this year, he hasn't been as good, and he's developed some mechanical issues with his left foot, and it's affecting him on long passes. So those are the little things that can make differences in games and can often be the difference between winning and losing.
And if he was 38 years old, they'd say, like Brett Favre, he's the one losing it, when in reality, he's lost some of his talent also at wide receiver. Here's Len Dawson about the Pittsburgh quarterback situation.
When I saw that last week against Denver that Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 54 times, I'm thinking, they are in deep trouble. When a quarterback, particularly with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have made a history of playing great defense and running the football, throwing the thing when they have to, which is a good example was Kansas City against St. Louis last week. David, you were through the ball 15 times. That's nothing in the National Football League these days. But Roethlisberger has been through a great deal for a young guy here in the last year with the injuries that he has had. And, you know, I don't know what's inside his head right now. That he's probably trying to press, trying to make plays, and when generally that happens, you make poor decisions, and poor decisions turn into turnovers, and when you turn the ball over enough, you're going to lose.
That's Len Dawson, and absolutely, that is what's happening with Pittsburgh. I just think they have gotten off their personality. They are done this season because they've forgotten what got them there. Charlie Batch could have led them to at least a couple wins, I think, without having to risk what they have with their quarterback. Switching to San Diego at Cincinnati, and having watched San Diego a couple weeks ago in your role covering the Rams, tell us about this game and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think San Diego is playing obviously very solid football, and you know they're getting great leadership from Phillip Rivers. You know, once again, you know they're not asking him to win games; they're just asking him not to lose them. They have a great running back in Tomlinson, and a very good defense is playing without Sean Merriman, but they still have enough other players to make up for it. And I think Cincinnati right now, Nick, is a very troubled football team. I mean, the distractions, I think, have caught up with them. Now we have, you know, Chad Johnson mouthing off on Sunday night saying, I'm just a Christmas ornament and they're not throwing the ball to me enough, and, you know, and all those things. And, you know, maybe they thought after they won their first three that it was going to be easy, and now all of a sudden they're 4-4, and I guess Ocho Cinco is surprised that they're cuatro y cuatro, but they've got some real problems right now, and I think it's from within, and you know it's part of it's the knucklehead factor. When you have so many things like that, and not a lot of accountability, when players are getting themselves in trouble, then I think that can lead to problems, especially when you start losing games.
Well, don't discount the knucklehead factor. You know, we try to be very scientific on this show, so we're going to definitely base our decisions on the knucklehead factor. Unfortunately, the knucklehead factor also applies to San Diego, and for that reason, because San Diego has not shown a consistency this year, even though I think they'll be one of the top 6-7 teams at the end of the year, they'll be in the playoffs, I believe Cincinnati, for one last glorious moment, is going to go against the grain, like every week we've seen this season, and beat the Chargers at home in Cincinnati. When we come back, final thoughts, a couple picks coming up on Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Channel 122, Sports Byline USA Network.